Sharp Money, Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. Sunday night here, week 13, as Denver and Washington coming to an end. We'll finish it with that one as, Mike, it is still finishing. Just quickly want to let everybody know you can find that Black Friday offer over at VSiN.com. It's a great offer. $60 gets you everything through May 1st. That gets you through the Masters, the basketball, everything. Obviously, the football. And happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully everybody had a great one. A travel day for you, I believe, yesterday back from North Carolina, Mr. Somich.
Yes, it was. And we got out of there early. Much like my father, I always scheduled the early flight instead of the later flight, which was good because we got here before noon back on the West Coast. But the 4 a.m. wake up on the East Coast was a little bit rough there, Patrick. So happy to be back home. Took a nice relaxing day today. Just watched some football. Enjoyed it quite a bit. Here we are doing the pod to close out the weekend and close out the Thanksgiving Day break. I'm excited for school tomorrow, let me tell you. I'm excited for school to happen.
I would bet. You get Lily back on a program. Let's do that. And we will end with Denver, Washington. As we speak, it's 2017, 22 seconds to go, so we'll keep you updated there and end with that one. We'll start with what we missed here and what we led you into on Sharp Money's Wednesday, Thursday edition, and that was Thanksgiving, dogs rule on Thanksgiving, and we can get right into it, of course. The first game, the Lions, we both were on the Packers. It was kind of a no-doubter. It felt like a no-doubter, and the Packers were dominating this game. It was a 7-point win. Detroit closes 31-24 winner for the Pack.
Yeah, Packers looked like they played a complete game for the second time this year against Detroit. If only they could do that every single week, this might be a little bit different record here for this Packers team. And this game changed early. Amon-Ra St. Brown goes down. He has a lower ankle sprain. You don't hear the lower ankle a lot. Usually it's the high ankle sprain. This is a low ankle sprain for Amon-Ra, so he's questionable for next week. But it meant that Jameson Williams had to be the dude, and he had a big game, 7 for 144. But it was just a very consistent game from Jordan Love and this Packers team that was able to lead them to the win. Wild second quarter with 28 points scored, but it's the Packers offense that seemed to settle in first here and able to move the football effectively against a Detroit Lions defense. And again, it came down to some of these fourth down calls for Dan Campbell, where you saw multiple drives end on downs one more time. Neither, I would say, was a major part of this game, but both of those fourth down missed conversions made a big difference just with possessions here.
Yeah, Dan Campbell's a little overwhelmed, and the Lions are overwhelmed as they're out of the postseason right now as we speak. Love was great. Micah Parsons was a difference maker. Aiden Hutchinson was he was enjoying Thanksgiving, I think, because I didn't see him playing football. The better team won, and I'm going to say that as a Lions fan. The better team won.
Yeah, 3 sacks for the Packers, 0 sacks for the Detroit Lions. They only hit Jordan Love twice in this entire game.
Yep.
You can't do that. Your secondary is not issues. Good enough to be able to only hit. You need to pressure the quarterback if you're going to be able to survive with that little pressure. And the Lions' lack of pressure got to him here, and the secondary wasn't able to quite hold up enough. Love, like you said, was great. Ends up with 4 touchdowns. It's sets up a heck of a matchup next week, Pat, where we've got the Packers taking on the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears are the one seed in the NFC as we sit here in week 13, which is crazy. You got the Patriots, one seed AFC, the Bears, one seed NFC, and Green Bay does have Chicago. We'll hold off, but Green Bay's 5.5 there, and Dallas is headed to Detroit. We'll hold off on talking about that one. We'll start with Chiefs Cowboys, but just quickly, that's a Thursday nighter to open up week 14 with the Cowboys at the Lions. It's 3 off the 5.5 look ahead. Before we do that, let's go Chiefs Cowboys. An upset here. Dallas covers the 3.5, a 31-28 winner for the Cowboys.
Yeah, it was nice to get the 4.5 the Sunday prior. We talked about it on Sharp Money this episode 1 week ago. Ended up kicking. It was at 3 at some points during the week. Ended up kicking at 3.5. And the Cowboys just kind of felt like the right side the entire game. Like this is one of those where like you watch it and you're like, are we sure that the Cowboys aren't the better football team at this point? The defense for Dallas, I thought, played very well, specifically in some very important spots. They shut out the Chiefs in the second and third quarter, which allowed the Cowboys to take a controlling lead into the fourth there. And again, we saw these two wide receivers, Pickens and Lamb, be able to consistently make plays for this Dallas football team. They end up with almost 200 yards combined receiving. And that was the story in my mind. I mean, it was just the fact that the Dallas could get anything they wanted through the air. And the defense that we talked about is much better than the Dallas defense we were seeing earlier this season. Again, Jerry Jones He's off his rocker long-term on these trades, but he did make the defense better when you get both of those interior defensive linemen and then a couple dudes off injury during the bye week as well.
Yeah, to your point, Dallas had three sacks, Kansas City nothing. Dak was great in the game. Lamb was great in the game. Pickens, big plays in the game. And the Cowboys, look, you look at the AFC and NFC picture right now, you're going to have to get to 11 wins. I don't think Dallas has a path. I mean, they went out, sure, but they've got a brutal schedule, and it starts. Let's go there. Starts on Thursday to open up week 14. Dallas at Detroit, it's 3. Penny is showing Detroit laying 3.5.
Yeah, go to Penny if you got it. Give me the Dallas Cowboys here. I like them at 3. I like them even more at 3.5. This opened at 3.5 tonight, and immediately those disappeared at the majority of books. So if there is a 3.5 out there, when you see it, when you wake up, I think that is the correct side here. I'd much rather have the Cowboys than the Lions. I just think the Cowboys are a more complete football team right now, which is wild to say because the Lions were as high as in my top 5 earlier this season, maybe 4 weeks ago. And yet, you look at what you got on the offensive line for Detroit right now. You look at the secondary for Detroit right now. And then you flip it around and you look at the improvements we've seen from Dallas, specifically on the defensive side. They are a better all-around football team than what Detroit is at this exact moment. So give me the Cowboys and the 3.5 here.
Yeah, all the threes on Detroit are 120 juice. So you may wait and get the 3.5. It might get bet up a little bit here. It's a snap call for me. It's Dallas. It's the same as Green Bay when we saw them in Detroit on Thanksgiving. We both snapped and said Dallas. Excuse me, Green Bay. Same here with the Dallas Cowboys. I think they're the better football team right now. Hurts to say, but it is true, Mike Somich.
I know, it's crazy to say. Who thought this Dallas team would be where they are right now after they had one of the worst defenses in football the first month and a half of the season?
The Bengals, Burrow's back, a little rusty at first, but then played really well. And the big story here was 32-14, obviously cover the 8. It's a straight up winner for the Bengals. 5 turnovers for the Ravens, and they are 6-6, tied in first there with Pittsburgh, who we'll get to.
32-14 doesn't even do justice to the level of beatdown this was. This could have been 52-14. We saw 4 field goals in the first half by the Bengals. They were not able to get in the end zone. If they had, they would have run away with this football game. You mentioned the turnovers. Just an absolute mess here from this Ravens team. But the story for me is the same that we talked about the last couple weeks with this Ravens team. Lamar just doesn't have it. And it's not that he's deteriorated or he's not as good of a football player. It's as simple as he's injured. And you can tell it out there that he is just moving right with his leg, with his knee, with everything that's going on. And I love Lamar as a pocket passer. But when you take away any threat of him running the football, it deteriorates the pocket passing skills because you don't have the weapons on the outside. Like Zay Flowers is fine when Lamar's running around creating extra time. He's able to ad-lib. You know, like Likely and Andrews, that's fine when Lamar's running around doing his thing. But when he's stationary, it makes it much more difficult for those guys to get open. You just don't have a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, big matchups in week 14, and we'll start with this one. We go to Baltimore. Here comes Pittsburgh. We just talked about the North. Those two tied atop the North at 6-6, although the Bengals are still kind of peeking around the corner, oddly. Baltimore does hold the tiebreak over Pitt, I believe, and this number is 6.5, with Baltimore laying it.
Wild to think that the Bengals are peeking around the corner at 4-8. Like, this was supposed to be a division that had very good football teams, Baltimore one of the best in the AFC, and you're not wrong that Cincinnati does have it, like, it's a puncher's chance.
Mathematical.
It's still a chance that 4-8, that they can win this division and make the playoffs, which is, again, absolutely crazy to say. Man, I mean, it's got to be Bengals or pass at this number. Like, and I don't love it. I have
Steelers?
Not bet it. I'm sorry, it has to be Steelers or pass at this number. I don't love it. I haven't bet it. We'll have to see what the deal with Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk about him a little bit in the Steelers team when we move forward. But I can't lay 6.5 with this Ravens team right now. The Steelers are better than the Bengals, right? Like, at least the defense is better. Like, they're about comparable. We just saw the Bengals blow them out.
What I will say is we'll get to the Steelers. The vibes after the game, the interviews after the game.
Great.
Watt and Tomlin and Rodgers, that was a crestfallen group, which we'll get to. I have nothing on 6.5 in that game. All right, that was Thanksgiving. 3 dogs, straight up.
It was a fun Thanksgiving because we talked about all three dogs on Thanksgiving. It was nice to get fat, both with the turkey as well with the wallet there, as all three of them covered easily.
All right. Week 13 properly on this Sunday. And we're still waiting.
Can't forget Friday.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot Black Friday. That was, of course, your hated team, the Chicago Bears, going to Philly and an outright winner. That was 24-15. So obviously they cover the 7.
Yeah, pretty easily cover the 7 there. And man, another one where you're just like, what is going on here? This was not a fluky win, Patrick. This was the Bears just dominating the Philadelphia Eagles, specifically on the ground. Both Bears running backs, Menungai and Swift, got to 100 yards rushing before Caleb Williams got to 100 yards passing. They were up 21-7 at one point in first downs over this Eagles team. This was anything but fluky with the way that the Bears were able to get the job done here. I had flashbacks to last year's Detroit Lions team with the way they were running the football with two different dudes here. This felt like
Montgomery. It's Ben Johnson.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It felt like Sonic and Knuckles had just switched jerseys and come over to Chicago. You could see all the investments in the offensive line. You could see everything that they put into this run game kind of come to fruition here. Dominating win by the Bears, who I still think they're kind of false. I still don't really believe them, Patrick.
I hear you. I hear you.
I did not bet either team in this game, and I'm probably. Well, we'll talk about this Bears Packers game in a second here, but you know which way I'm going.
Well, let's go there. 5.5. It was a look ahead of 5.5 with the Packers laying it, hosting the Bears. Obviously, implications with the division, with the Bears sitting on top and Green Bay kind of staring right up at them. And it is 5.5 with the Packers laying it at home.
I will lay it with the Pack. Let's go, Green Bay. Show up again in division here. This is a huge game for Green Bay, too. Now, they have Chicago twice here, still in the season. Now you have the Bears as your number one seed in the NFC. You've got a chance for the Packers here to take over control in this division. I think the Packers are just simply a more complete team. I don't think you're going to see the two Chicago running backs be able to run for a combined 250 yards in that game. And if that's the case, it means it's on Caleb Williams' shoulders. And I still am just not impressed by Caleb Williams and what we've seen. He misses too many easy throws. Give me the Packers here. I'll lay the 6.5 or 5.5.
Yeah, I do believe in the Bears, but anything sub 6 here, I think I think this is a good spot for the Packers. Rested, going home, huge win, look good, crisp, both sides of the ball. I like the Packers 5.5. And then Monday night, you have Philly headed to here, where I am, Los Angeles, right down the road from you. And Philly is laying 3.5 on the road at the Chargers. I believe the look ahead was Philly 2.
It was Philly 2.5 the last I saw it at. 43.5 on the total for the look ahead. I wish I bet the Eagles. We'll talk about the Chargers when we get to them. But man, I wish I had bet the Eagles at the 2.5. They're probably still the right side at 3, but the difference between 2.5 is 3, and 3 is pretty massive, as we've talked about in the past. I will say, if you want the 3, it's probably sooner rather than later, as everything is -115, -120 on the Philly side.
Yeah, I like Philly. I like Philly in a bounce back here. Although the Chargers, we will discuss coming up here on the Sunday slate, but they did run the ball well today against a team that shall not be mentioned.
It's like saying Ohio State ran the ball well against Northeastern Michigan, Tennessee State. Like
overtime here on Sunday night, which we'll get to end the program. 461, Houston at Indy. We both liked Houston catching the 3, and they're an outright winner, 20-16.
Yeah, all of a sudden, this division, fascinating as well. Now with Houston, the Houston Texans, Indianapolis Colts, and the Jacksonville Jaguars all separated by just one game. So a crazy result here as the Texans able to get the job done. And the Texans look like the best versions of themselves we've seen all season now. This defense still playing very good football. On the offensive side, C.J. Stroud gets reinserted into the lineup, goes for 276 yards. But to me, the big key here, Higgins and Hutchinson, the two rookie wide receivers, they combined for 10 targets and 100 yards in this game. It's not just Nico Collins that's moving the football through the air here. You've got other ancillary weapons that are being effective for the Texans. I like this Texans team. I think that they're going to continue to play these slugfest close games. They're going to be coin flips. Can you come out on the right side? That's going to be the big question. But catching points with them, I thought this was a great spot for them, and I like them moving forward.
Here it is. It's the third straight week that Houston has scored, Mike, two or fewer touchdowns, yet still win. What does that mean? Defense. Mm-hmm. And, the, you know, the defense is the best in football. We're watching Denver right now. A fractured fibula for Jones doesn't help, but obviously defenses are keying on Taylor right now.
Yeah, they are. And that's like Taylor had 85 yards in this game, but it took 21 carries. His longest run of the game was just 12 yards. You didn't see that explosive long Taylor run that we have been seeing earlier in the season. And Jones, he's not a good enough quarterback to be limited with an injury, right? It just, you kind of see everything else that's affecting him when that does end up happening. And you could tell here against this defense, it was just a little bit too much to ask. Just one sack for this Houston team, but the coverage was very good all day. I thought that this was just a complete effort here from Houston, who's able to get the job done.
Yeah, South Jacksonville 8-4. They're a game up. Well, not a game up. They're a tie break up on Indy at 8-4 and Houston 7-5. Speaking of Houston, they go to Kansas City. That's next Sunday night. Look ahead was 5.5. Kansas City dipped down to 4.5. There's 3.5 at South Point. So obviously Houston getting bet, and I'll take Houston.
Yeah, I would take the 4.5 with Houston. I actually like the under more here. You can get a 43.5 at DraftKings right now. There are 42.5s on the board at FanDuel and Caesars. Give me the under 43.5 here in this spot. Kansas City's offense just doesn't have the explosiveness, especially against the secondary Houston's going to offer. This just feels like a grinded out type football game. So I'll take under 43.5.
Jacksonville's 8-4, Indy's 8-4, and Jacksonville hosts Indy week 14. Look ahead, I believe, was 2.5, and it's down to 1.5 with Indy laying it at Jacks.
Yeah, people are still betting this Jacksonville team. I want to talk about the Jags game first before we jump into this one.
Okay. All right, we shall. Next up is 463, Arizona at Tampa. Tampa does not cover the 4.5. They do win the football game 20-17.
Yeah, this is a very good 3-9 Cardinals team. That's kind of like if you look at all the bad teams, they're the good team that's bad, right? Where they could have won quite a few football games. They move the football effectively in this game. If you look at the box score, you kind of felt like Arizona dominated. 22 first downs to just 13 for the Tampa Bay Bucs. 386 total yards for the Cardinals to 279 for the Bucs. But the difference here, the turnovers. Two turnovers by the Cardinals really cost them. You also missed a field goal in this game, which obviously would have tied the game. Probably should have gone over the total too. As you saw, like, drives just stall out in very odd ways. You had the interception deep in the Tampa Bay territory, but you had a couple other drives where it looked like we were going to get points on the board, and then there was a penalty that moves them out of it, and you have a punt inside the 10, and all of a sudden you've got a long field. So I still think the Cardinals very much an over team, although they did get their cornerback back today. Bucky Irving, I thought, looked good in this game.
Yeah,
Chris
he
Godwin
came back.
Looked good in this game. So, like, we're starting to get healthy on the Tampa side as well.
Yeah, that's the sixth time these Cardinals have lost by 4 points or less this year. Talking about competitive, Baker seems banged up with the left arm, obviously, something to note, but Bucky Irving did come back. Tampa is going to stay home, and they are going to get New Orleans. This number is 7.5. I see an 8.5 out there as well.
Yeah, man, this is an interesting one. It was 8.5 in the look ahead. Now we're sitting in that 7.5-8.5 range. I think this is a good teaser leg. I think the Bucs take care of business, but I'm not really running to the window here to lay the over a touchdown with them.
Yeah, I got nothing. The Rams are at Arizona. Rams off a loss, which we'll get to, and the Rams are laying 7.5-8 at Arizona.
Yeah. Let's talk about that one, about the Rams as
absolutely.
Well. There's some interesting spots there.
Jacksonville beat Tennessee 25-3. They do cover the 6, and a good performance by the Jags.
Yeah, I guess.
This
was more of a bad performance by Tennessee. like this was one of those spots where Cam Ward was just absolutely atrocious in this game. You didn't really see them be able to move the football well against a, you know, so-so Jacksonville defense that has been living off turnovers, has been playing a little bit better the last couple weeks without getting those turnovers. But the Jags went 3-for-13 on third down. The Titans went 2-for-12 on third down. Neither team had over 300 yards total offense. They combined for 23 penalties, 13 on the Jags, 10 on the Titans. This was just a sloppy, sloppy football game. And the Titans regressed here. Like, we talked about Cam Ward playing better last week. He played worse this week. And he talked about it in the postgame conference where he's like, I had a bad week this week. I had a good one last week. Have to try and stack the good weeks together. And he's right. That's kind of what you need to do here if you're going to consistently be good inside the NFL. I wouldn't upgrade the Jags too much here. I do think the best part of this for the Jags was Jakobi Meyers played very well here. Six receptions, 90 yards, and a touchdown. They added him at the deadline. He gives them that second wide receiver with Thomas returning as well.
In Tennessee on the road at Cleveland, it's 3.5 Cleveland. I'll lay it.
Really? You're going to lay it here with Shador?
Yeah, I was not impressed by Tennessee today.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
I mean,
that's
that fair. Defense is going to get after Cam.
You buried the lead, though. The total, 34.5 on the look ahead.
I see a 33.5 at Circa. Yeah.
No, that's too high. We got to bet down the 34.5 here with two just putrid offenses. I don't have any take on this one. I want to look at it. I want to see the weather, too. Cleveland, December weather, that can often be an issue.
I mean, I would lay it with Cleveland, but I probably won't be dialed into that one. A better game is Indy at Jacksonville. I mentioned it's 1.5 Colts.
I am torn here, Patrick. I really want to lay it with Indy. I'm a little worried about Daniel Jones. Is that a big enough reason in your mind to not lay it with what is a superior football team on paper and metrically? Or is it? Can you get around the Daniel Jones injury and lay it with the 1.5 here with Indy?
I'll go over 47.5. I think that's what I do. Although Jacksonville's defense is playing well, though it was Tennessee. I don't know what to take from that performance, like you said, against Tennessee today.
That's the thing with Jacksonville. Like, I've watched them a ton because they've been one of those teams that I've consistently had a take about. They weren't very good against the Cardinals last week. They could have easily lost that football game. The Chargers game, the Chargers didn't even show up. If you go before that, they played a 1-point game against the Raiders. They lost the Seahawks, the Rams, the Texans. I don't trust this Jacksonville team. I don't trust Trevor Lawrence.
I take the Colts.
This is going to be one of those where I go back and forth. The nice part about 1.5, I don't need to bet this right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm not going to lose the 3. So it's not like I'm worried about a key number here. We'll see how the market takes it. But I have a heavy lean to the Colts. I just got to decide what to do with our friend Daniel Jones.
Carolina beat the Rams 31-28. Stafford with three turnovers, two picks. Bryce Young was good. Carolina keeps fighting. A 31-28 winner. They obviously cover the 10, a straight up win.
This was a wild game. When you kind of dive into what happened. So you talked about the pick six. That was a huge play as one of Stafford's interceptions gets returned for a touchdown through another interception in the end zone, which cost them points in the first quarter. But we're in control of this football game except for 2 4th-and-1s where you see Bryce Young stretch the field, go deep to Coker for one for a 33-yard touchdown. McMillan, his only catch on the day, 1 for 43 and a touchdown on that 4th-and-1 play. Just a very opportunistic Carolina Panthers team. And crazy stat of the week. How many third downs do you think the Rams attempted in this game? They have 22 first downs, scored 28 points. How many third down attempts did they have?
Tell me.
5.
Wow.
They were 2 for 5 on third down. So they either were turning it over or just marching down the field, but only 5 third down attempts for the Rams, who's put up 28 points and had 22 first downs. Just crazy.
Stafford was good outside of the picks because he did have a couple of great touchdown passes. I'm not going to really knock the Rams here. They had 1-8 straight. All of a sudden, they lose the grip on the number one overall seed in the NFC, though, to the Bears, which is wild to say out loud.
I'll tell you who was happy when this final score came across the ticker. The Seattle Seahawks, who we'll get to in a second. But they now are the one that I think controls their fate to be the number one seed in the NFC.
Wow. Crazy going ons here in overtime in Sunday Night Football as Washington about to tie it up in overtime.
They are? You're ahead of me. I have 27-20 Denver
right
now.
It's a hold. Terry McLaurin caught a touchdown pass from Mariota, but they called a hold, so it's coming back.
I am so rooting for Washington right now. I don't have a bet in this game, but I am so rooting for Washington right now.
The Rams are at Arizona. It's 8, 7.5 with the Rams laying it.
I like the total more. 48.5 is the current number. Look at it was 47.5. I like the over. I haven't bet it yet because I want to see if I can get a flat 48. I do think that this is a bounce back spot for the Rams because I think that they're going to be able to move the football consistently against the Cardinals. But I like the Brissett-led Cardinals can move the football against pretty much anyone. We saw that again today against the Bucks. So I like the over here if you can get a flat 48 out there. So keep an eye on that one. No bet at currents for me.
Carolina, all of a sudden, alive in division. Both Souths are upside down right now. As Carolina, probably going to have to win the division, but they're alive. And I'm looking for Carolina for week 14. If you see it, tell me.
Panthers are taking on the Saints. So they're in a...
Oh, that's right. We talked about... No. The Saints are at Tampa.
Oh, I'm sorry. But Panthers are...
Oh, they got their bye. This is a late bye for them.
Do they really? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they're on bye. Okay. We continue, and next up is New Orleans at Miami. Your Miami Dolphins are still alive. They don't cover the 5.5, although they got a late safety. That was it was interesting. A winner, 21-17. New Orleans covers the 5.5.
They are a winner. By the way, Washington now at the 1 yard line as Debo catches a long pass on 3rd and 14. So Washington 1 yard away from tying this game up,
incredible.
Extra point pending. 3 minutes left here in overtime, though. So we'll see what happens there. I don't know what Miami's doing, man. Achane goes for 134. They've got control of this football game at half. They're up 16-0. They barely hold on. You mentioned the 2-point conversion that they ran back. Thank God they ran that 2-point conversion back, Patrick, because then they gave up an onside kick and the Saints got the football right back here. It felt like this was a game where if you had the Saints plus the points here as they closed at 5.5, you felt lucky to cover. And then all of a sudden you felt like if you had the Saints money line, you were unlucky that they lost this game because of the way that it kind of played out here. Tua wasn't great. He was 12 for 23, just a 157 and a pick. It was really the run game that kind of bolstered this Miami Dolphins offense. Miami undefeated in November. Who knew? Still in the playoff hunt. Like it is, but it's not a very good Dolphins team, man. This is just a duct tape and string holding together what this Miami Dolphins football team is. It now has to go play in the cold.
And they head to the Jets, and they're laying 2.5 at the Jets. Miami is.
I'm waiting for my three here. I'm hoping that Miami takes the money and I can get a plus three in the market. This is one of those where the open on this game was 2.5, but it was all Jets money. We're now seeing it flip over to all Dolphins money, so that we're creeping toward three. I don't know if we actually get there. Kind of like the under here too, Patrick. You can find a 42.5 in the market at DraftKings right now. There's as low as 41.5 in the market at FanDuel. Like this Jets team is going to run the football. We've seen Miami in the cold in December, year after year after year, not be able to move the football at all on offense. I'm willing to kind of stand behind that. The cold Tua and cold Miami Dolphins offense doesn't move the football. So I like the under 42.5.
Then speaking of the Jets, they were catching three and they're an outright winner, 27-24 over Atlanta, who is going to be looking for a new head coach, I would think. The Jets, it's a terrible win for them, if we're being honest. I mean, they won, but you want to lose football games at this point if you're the Jets. It's 27-24 Jets.
Yeah, another 3-9 football team. Hey, shout out to A.D. Mitchell, who goes 8 for 102 and a touchdown in this game. Like, just rising from the ashes of dropping the football on the goal line for the Colts earlier this season to come here and get 100 yards with the Jets. This is one of the weirder box scores. When you look at the team stats, it looks like Atlanta just dominated this football game. 25 first downs to 16, 389 total yards to 296. They had one penalty. The Jets had nine. Yet, oh my gosh, Washington just dropped it down third and goal.
It was Ertz. Ertz dropped
a game-tying
touchdown in overtime.
This Jets team won this game because of two special teams plays. You had a muffed punt and a big kick return after points for the Falcons. They scored 10 points on two drives that encompassed 3 yards, Patrick. 10 points on 3 yards. That was the real swing here. Look, this is a better team with Tyrod Taylor quarterback, and they're frisky coming forward. We just mentioned the Dolphins. I think they have a good shot at upsetting the Dolphins next week.
And New Orleans, excuse me, we were just talking about the Jets in Atlanta. Atlanta is hosting Seattle. Seattle's laying 7.5, 8.5 at FanDuel.
Yeah, there's your teaser partner. Right?
Yeah.
Just like
yeah, totally.
Bucks and Seahawks. Just take them both down to 1.5, 2.5, whatever's under three there. I think both of those teams are very likely winners with teases. There's another good one coming up too.
San Francisco somehow, some way keeps winning 26-8 at Cleveland, easily cover the 5. A big win for San Francisco, who's in the postseason.
Yeah, I like you said it. Somehow they just
touchdown,
keep winning.
Touchdown, McLaurin. My goodness.
Fourth
Pending
and goal.
Extra point. They're going to tie it up. That was fourth and goal. Mariota playing really well in the second half here. Finish off with that game. San Francisco, Cleveland.
80% chance he misses the extra point based on the way this game's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
San Fran wins 26-8. This was a lot closer than it looked like in the scoreboard. Another one where the yards were 252 for San Fran, 253 for the Browns. So it was just a very, very close game. The difference here, again, it comes down to turnovers, right? You have a fumble by the Browns that results in a touchdown for the 49ers. You have a turnover on downs late that results in a field goal that gave them more points. You can't turn the football over when you're a bad football team. And these big plays just kind of really cost the Browns team. You also had a muff punt that resulted in a 6-play, 18-yard touchdown drive. All of that just kind of compounds. And if the Browns play a clean football game, they can win that type of game against the 49ers. They didn't play a clean football game, and that's why they got blown out in the second half.
Yeah, San Francisco, a late bye. They go on bye, and you mentioned the Browns. They host Tennessee. That's why I just said what they did statistically against San Fran. If they do that against Tennessee, they should cover the 3.5, but who wants to touch that game? Minnesota.
Washington going for 2. And Denver called timeout. So we might have a 2-point conversion for the win here.
Washington's
I like it.
3-8. You might
Why
as well
not?
If you're Dan Campbell. And they did not play. Obviously, Mariota in for Daniels. Minnesota, about as bad as it gets, obviously. Seattle 26, Minnesota nothing, an easy cover of the 12 for the Seahawks.
Yeah, this game was wild. JSN and JJ, like two of the best wide receivers in football. 0 catches, 0 yards at half. it was hideous here. And it was a Seahawks defense just dominated this game. And you could kind of tell even from the offensive side on the Seattle side, they just like, well, we don't need to do much. We're just going to hand the ball off. We can let Brosmer just beat himself. He ends up with four interceptions. They get 4 sacks. One of the funniest pick sixes I think I've ever seen in my life, where you have Brosner, who is literally his back to the end zone. He's trying to score in on 4th and 1 from the 4-yard line, and he just throws it behind his back, and Seattle takes it back for a touchdown. Brosner's just overmatched in the NFL. He's just not it, and that, to me, was really the difference in this game. Seattle easy cover. I don't take too much away from this one for Seattle, though, because this was just an impossible spot for a Minnesota Vikings team that somehow, some way, it just needs to find a quarterback for this franchise, because they don't have one on the roster right now.
They don't. 2 points, no good. We'll end with that. 10-2, Denver walks away from DC. Okay, so we're talking Minnesota. Minnesota, I thought the defense actually played pretty well, spirited, but what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
They get Washington, who just lost by 1 in overtime to Denver. Minnesota hosts Washington, and it's 1.5, Minnesota laying it.
I need to know who the quarterback is, Patrick.
On both sides.
Yeah, I mean, look, my gut reaction is you just take money line for Washington right now. Because if it's J.J. McCarthy, like, Brosner's terrible. Okay, he was terrible. Maybe the worst quarterbacking performance we've seen all year. We'll see the numbers come out, the full numbers tomorrow, but bottom 5 quarterback performance we've seen all year, and there's been some bad ones here. I could not back him as a favorite in any way, shape, or form. And even with Mariota, at least you have a professional quarterback on Washington, right? J.J. McCarthy and Brosmer are not professional quarterbacks. You have a big defensive advantage for the Vikings, but it would be Washington or pass.
Buffalo 26, Pittsburgh 7. Buffalo covers the 3. A terrible, terrible performance on both sides from Pittsburgh here.
They couldn't stop the run, Patrick. This was just James Cook just running wild all over them. We saw Ray Davis get his toward the second part of this game as well. Aaron Rodgers took a monster hit from Bosa at one point, so we had a little Mason Rudolph experience in this game as well, as he banged up his arm again, and he's had some blood coming down the nose. Josh Allen wasn't great in this football game. You could really see. Now, there was some wind, so we did 20-mile-per-hour winds, but we've seen Josh Allen throw through the wind before. 5 of his first 10 targets were behind the line of scrimmage. They weren't stretching the field. James Cook is your leading receiver for Buffalo. Then it was Knox and Johnson, your leading wide receiver for Buffalo. Brandon Cooks, who goes 1 for 13. Next was Keon Coleman, 2 for 9. Then Gabe Davis, 1 for 5. And Shakir, 1 for 5. Just no production from the outside at all for a Buffalo team that very much needs wide receivers who are going to be able to make plays for Josh Allen here. Just a dominant win for Buffalo, but at the same time, like, huge concerns coming out of this game for Buffalo as well.
Pittsburgh had 166 yards total on offense.
That's not good, Patrick.
No, doesn't help your defense, that's for sure. And Pittsburgh heads to Baltimore. We talked about that. You know, it's 6.5. I can't do anything on either. I'm not laying it, and I'm certainly not messing with the team. Go watch the interviews after the game from the Pittsburgh locker room, and it was depressing.
I'm never laying it with Baltimore. Right now, Baltimore is one of those teams. If it's over a field goal, I have no interest in laying it with them. I don't like this Pittsburgh team, or else I'd be running to the window. I didn't like Cincinnati last week, and I still ran to the window to get 7.5 with them.
Right.
It would be Pittsburgh or pass, but it's hard for me to click the button.
Cincinnati's at Buffalo. Buffalo is 5.5. I mean, 6.5 at DraftKings.
This is the total that I'm looking at. I don't see how this game doesn't go over. This is just one of those where both of these offenses should be out. Like, we've got a bad defense in Cincinnati. You're going to have Higgins back. You're going to have Ja'Marr Chase in there. You've got Burrow. You've got Chase Brown. You've got all of the pieces healthy for Cincinnati since, what, week two of this offense or this season? This should be a much better offense for Cincinnati, and I do think Buffalo can go shot for shot against them, or with them, against this terrible defense. Last I saw it was 52.5. If there's ever a 52, it's a really easy click for me. At 52.5, I still lean to the over. Actually, never mind. There's a 51.5 at DraftKings. Give me over 51.5 at DraftKings right now, Buffalo, Cincinnati.
And go to DraftKings and give me the 6.5 with Cincinnati at the same shop, because I like them. I don't like Buffalo. And I don't like Cincinnati. I like them in the game. Vegas at the Chargers. The Chargers 31, Vegas 14. Easy cover of the 9.5. I mean, it's literally a team that's quit in Vegas.
I don't care. The Vidal touchdown
literally
run, like, I think someone like waved their hands to try and get him to be blown out of bounds instead of trying to tackle him. Like, it was just one of the most pathetic tackle attempts I think I've ever seen in my life.
This is
a all-time pathetic Raiders team, what we're seeing right now. We saw Geno Smith get sacked 10 times last week, add another 5 this week by a Chargers defensive line. There is no running room for Ashton Jeanty. I legitimately feel bad for the guy, because he gets hit 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage every single time he touches the football. It's Brock Bowers and absolutely nothing else in the passing game. Bowers gets 2 touchdowns, 63 yards, doesn't matter. This is a very, very bad Las Vegas Raiders team that I have a feeling the bridge quarterback and bridge coach that you brought in last season are going to be a one-season bridge, and we are going to see this organization hit the reset button hard this offseason.
Yeah, Geno was sacked 5 times. That offensive line, whew.
Yeah.
And the Chargers, they get Philly. We both like Philly laying the 3.
Yes. Yeah. This Chargers offensive line is gonna have a world of trouble next week against a pass rush for the Eagles that should be just stellar. I hesitate, Patrick, because I don't want to bet the Eagles, but my numbers say I should be betting the Eagles. My eyes tell me I should bet the Eagles. I don't trust the Eagles, but I'll lay the 3 with Philly.
Denver in overtime just beat Washington, and Denver heads to Vegas, and Denver is laying 7.5, 8.
There's another teaser leg number 3. I actually like Denver minus the 8.5 in this spot as well.
This is just
you get the number one pass rush coming in after back-to-back weeks where we've seen this Raiders quarterback get sacked 15 times. Denver sack props, all of them. Give me Denver laying the 8.5.
And we close out week 13, 483. The Giants are at New England, and it is 7.5 pretty much everywhere, though I am seeing 7s. You can find a 7 if you do like New England.
I kind of lean over here, Patrick. I don't have a bet in this spot yet, but the total to me is where I want to look here. This is a New England team that can stop the run well, but the passing defense, not great. And now you've got Jackson Dart back in the game here. I do think that he's able to give them a little bit of a spark, have some success on the outside. I think New England should be able to just pick their score on the offensive side. They should be able to cut up this Giants defense pretty good. So I'll take over 46.5.
Yeah, I like the over too. I'd lay the 7 with New England as well, correlate it. That's it. Kind of a, today felt a little sleepy, almost like they're human beings. They're coming off of Thanksgiving as well. And it just kind of a plodding day. Thursday's games were so great that it was, there's a ton of juice on Thanksgiving.
Well, I think that's what we saw, right? When you look like the afternoon slate was Seattle or Seahawks, Vikings, Bills, Steelers, Raiders, Chargers. I mean, that's a putrid afternoon slate.
It was terrible.
But when you look at that Thursday, we had three very good games on Thursday. With six teams at the start of the season that were all expected to be pretty good football teams. The Bears and Eagles was Friday. That takes another two teams that are intriguing off the board. It just didn't leave a lot on the plate, right? The leftovers, they weren't very good for this Sunday here off those Thanksgiving games. But I thought this was a fascinating week just from a moving perspective, because we're getting more and more clarity here on the playoff picture and what we're going to see in both the NFC and the AFC. And it just could be an all-time chaos here, Patrick. Because you look in the NFC and you're sitting there and you're like, well, the Bears are your one seed. The Packers are one game behind. You've got the Seahawks and the Rams sitting at the same record. I think it's either Seahawks or Rams that get the one seed, depending on who wins that football game against the two of them. And you look over in the AFC, it's the Broncos and then the Patriots that are sitting on the top of on top of that conference. And you look at what it's going to take to get into the playoffs. I mean, you're going to have to win 10, 11 games in these conferences to get in, which really makes it hard for teams who are playing catch up like the Chiefs, playing catch up like the Lions, that are very good football teams that are looking up at a pretty tall task to try and just get into the playoffs.
Yeah, NFC South's tight, AFC South tight, NFC North tight, your 2-1 seeds, the Bears and the Patriots. Here, week 13, AFC North, the tie to top the top at 6-6 with Pittsburgh and the Ravens. Yes, it's a weird year. That is facts.
I mean, the Browns aren't mathematically eliminated, Patrick. They're 3-9. They could win the division. There's a world.
Okay, we'll let these numbers bake. We'll come back here on Thursday's edition of Sharp Money. We'll end with the drama that kind of overtook the whole entire weekend into today, and that is Lane Kiffin is leaving Ole Miss for LSU.
Yeah, first off, shout out Marty Smith, who I think spent 48 straight hours at the Ole Miss facilities there. Grew a beard in the time that he was waiting for Lane Kiffin to make his announcement. This is just the epitome of NIL, isn't it? Like of this era of college football, where you have just a coach who has to make a decision of where he's going to go. And I think it's funny people are like banging Kiffin for going to LSU. Every one of us, like if we got offered one of the best positions at a competitor rival company to the one you're currently at, where you get paid double the money, you're going there every single time. It's not even a second thought, right? So we always knew Kiffin was going to go to LSU, and he's going to take a bunch of pieces with him. He's taking Charlie Weiss, the OC. He's taking the GM. He's taking the strength and conditioning coach. They're taking the wide receiver coach. He's gutting the offensive staff. I'm surprised that Ole Miss just didn't say, you know what, go ahead and coach the playoff. Just let it happen. Just go ahead and see what goes on here, because they were never keeping him.
I'll have more on Mad Dog Sports. This is bro culture as well. The concept of going crazy over Lane Kiffin, who is a pretty basic coach. He's been horrible at stops. He's been really good in Oxford. He's an odd dude. It's all about him. Good luck, LSU.
But imagine this 5 years ago, that there was this big of a thing for Lane Kiffin, because he was almost untouchable 5 years ago by a large program. Ole Miss took a chance on Lane Kiffin to bring him in and have him be the head coach down there in Oxford. And he was able to do a great job, able to do an awesome job in the portal, get this team to a position where it can consistently compete. But man, it's funny to see this blow up in this manner. And it shows you how desperate LSU is too. Like they've just going through these retread coaches that have had success at other places and are just hoping that they can strike gold with one of them and get, you know, a Saban type level guy again back in their program.
Kiffin is no Saban.
Well, I'm not saying he is. I'm saying that's what they're trying to do, is they're trying to find someone that they can hire in and just be there forever. I don't.
They're trying to turn a hoe into a housewife.
It actually is hilarious that dude made that a comparison, because look, let's be honest. It kind of fits. Like, it kind of fits here.
Trying to explain to Lane Kiffin what an analogy is would take a long time. He was so confused. And that's what I find funny about the guy. I just don't think he's that bright. He can dial up an offense. Okay. Number, but to be going this crazy over him is hilarious.
$12 million 7 years at LSU. Does he complete the contract at LSU?
No, he gets fired.
Number of national titles at LSU.
Controversy. No, he's not going to win a national title.
Number of SEC titles at LSU.
One.
Okay. I mean, I'm not like after that, the college football playoff, he should go every year with that, with like with that everything that's happening. I agree with you. I don't think he makes it the 7 years. I think we have another buyout in the
controversy will end his tenure. Controversy will end the tenure. That is Lane Kiffin.
The other funny
look at the track record.
Couldn't Kiffin have just said a week ago, I'm leaving? And this wouldn't.
That's what I'm saying. It's all about him. He's a child.
This thing wouldn't have been as big of an issue, and the bridge would not be burning back between Oxford and LSU.
He's a don't. Good luck, LSU. Samich, good to be back. Happy, I guess you made it through Thanksgiving. Matt Deutsch, thank you. You made it through Thanksgiving as well. Don't forget, you can wake up tomorrow with the newsletter. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. It'll be there. There's no obligation. You just go to VSiN.com/newsletter, enter your email address, and bam, your betting menu for the day from Bill AD. You get the last word.
If you like betting horses, check out firstbet.com this weekend and try and beat this guy. That's right. Beat Mike Samich contest on Saturday, $5,000. Free to enter. All you got to do is beat me, and you split $5,000 with everyone else who does so as well. Got to have a FirstBet account, first.com/VSiN. If you want to sign up, contest will be live on Thursday. It's with five races, four stakes races at Aqueduct, one down at Gulfstream. Free shot of $5,000. All you got to do is be better at picking horses than I am on Saturday.
But don't bet the ponies until you download VSiN at the Track with Mike Samich and Aaron Halterman, wherever you find your podcasts, and wherever you find your podcast, this one, Sharp Money. We'll see you Thursday.